I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good to have you with us. Hour number two here on a Feel Good Football Friday. Before we get to Dr. Sabah, we'd be remiss. I've said a couple of things on social media. Yesterday the news hit us all like a ton of bricks. Pete Medhurst is going through a really, really, really difficult time right now. And our understanding is he's in surgery to remove a brain tumor. And I think you all know the obvious significance and severity of this and that, and how long of a road Pete's got ahead of him. And we're all thinking about him and his family, and what have you. We did this show, Matt joined us, part of the way in, but we did the show together, Matt, for a couple of months, right? At least, if I'm not mistaken,
it was almost
6 months,
a year.
7 months. Oh,
yeah.
Almost a year. I mean, I did the show with Pete basically from February of 2021, I think it was, until late March. So March of 2023. So, we did it for over 2 years, every day, 4 hours from 3 to 7 in the afternoons. And then we were switched to better accommodate Pete's schedule from 9 to noon. Things happen in the radio industry. Things happen in the radio business. Unfortunately, sometimes things happen that are way, 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 way out of our control, and we don't have any input or decision. It's not like they say, hey, man, what do you think about this all the time? Sometimes they do. A lot of times they don't. But this isn't about
most
radio.
Of the real suck stuff. They don't.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So when Pete, when Pete stopped doing the show with us, that was, that was a total shock to all of us. Nobody knew it was coming. And the show was not the same, right? So we had to kind of reinvent the show and whatever. And this isn't about the show. This is to say, we miss Pete, and his contributions to the show and the radio station and the two radio stations, and all the good things that he does at Navy with the Nationals.
The studio still has his Navy banner up. It still has the Oreo sign that I got him for Christmas a couple years ago.
Yeah, no doubt. And I remember some of those birthday celebrations that we had and just some of the crazy laughs that we had, like about school pizza. I don't know if you were here for that one,
yeah.
Matt. That was just an insane show. And some of the great things that we were able to do. And Pete and I are different personalities, but we were able to blend it together. And he was, he was willing to work, with me, and I was willing to work with him. And then we got Matt, who replaced, was it Linnell or JT the Vic? I can't remember.
I think Vic was.
Yeah. And then it all kind of came together. Either way, the point being is, and Matt, I'll let you say what you want to say. Again, this business is a really, really, really tough business. And I think you all know that life is really, really tough in a lot of ways. Not for everybody, but really tough for a lot of people, whether it be medical, family, relationships, whatever it might be. I'm asking you to, say your prayers. If you're a person who believes in prayers and who does the prayers thing, keep his family and Pete in your thoughts. We will pass along information as soon as we get it. From Brenda, his wife. I'm just thinking about Brenda and Kelly and his two older sons, and Pete. I know our guy Ross Rutter, who became very close with Pete and I as he was dealing with his own personal stuff, and it was very serious. Recently talked to Pete. I have not, so I'm just going to be clear on that. And I know my buddy Zig Fricassi from Sirius XM, who's been a guest of ours, just saw Pete in the booth on Saturday morning at MetLife Stadium and said everything appeared okay. Again, appearances can be different than reality. Either way, however this happened, we're praying, thinking, hoping, wishing the very best for Pete. that he gets through this, recovers, he can get back behind the mic doing his thing, because he's really talented and he's really good at what he does. And even though he's not on this show anymore, again, want to be clear, that was not our decision, number one. And we miss him, and, you know, we're thinking about him, and we love him, and, you know, again, we're hoping for the very, very best. So if you can, keep Pete and his family, you know, in your thoughts today and every day, and hopefully we will get some good news that we can share, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I've worked with a lot of really talented people and fairly big names in sports talk in my short career. When I was in New York, all of the guys were really good, but they were also incredibly intense. And so that's something that I'm sure you can agree with, having spent a bit of time at WFAN. They're all good guys, but once it's on air, everyone has a level of intensity that it's can be alienating at times. When I came down to DC and started working daily with you and with Pete, I remember initially, because we were all remote at that point, so I hadn't ever actually met you guys.
Right, right, right.
And I'd only seen photos. And to anybody that's met Pete, you know that his big smile is just infectious. But to anybody that's seen his photo, knows that he can come off as a kind of an intimidating person.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of the first shows that we were working on, that it's ironic we're working right now remote and we're in a virtual meeting. One of the first shows we were working on, I decided that it would be easier if we all got on Zoom. You were in the middle of a filibuster, and Pete decided he was going to start messing with all the filters. And all of a sudden, Pete's, every time he talks, starts puking hearts. And it was at that moment that I realized that these are two guys that just want to have fun, enjoy the show, talk about the teams they like, and are going to be open and not intimidating. This is going to be a good experience. So I just have to say that I love Pete. I really do wish him, his family, the best. He's got to get better, because he's got to grab that Oreo sign, because it's just been sitting there since he left. He's got to come back so he can at least grab the sign.
You know, I mean, that's great. I remember, you know, I remember that. I remember the
first
time you
were paying attention, and I just started laughing. You're like, what's going on? And all of a sudden you looked at the Zoom, and Pete's just puking, puking hearts.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for all the sports debates that we had, and we had to have some tough ones about COVID and whether athletes should, how they should treat it. And, you know, Pete felt very differently than me, and that's okay. And maybe than you, and I can be a pain in the ass, and I can be stubborn, and I can be critical. I remember some pretty big arguments about Kyrie Irving and so on and so forth, right?
Pete's the prince of positivity.
Yeah. And I would say this, you know, again, I mean, Pete, you know, Pete loves doing what he does. He loves being the voice of Navy. He is very involved, obviously, in the Nationals broadcast that you sometimes hear on Team 980, mostly on 106.7, and many other things. And, you know, I was reading in the Baltimore Sun last night when they did kind of a career bio, and the way they wrote it kind of touched my heart a little bit, because I don't know if Pete had told them that, you know, previously, I'm not sure, but they said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, that he reached the pinnacle of his career when he was put together on this show. And they didn't mention the initial afternoon drive format, but they mentioned 9 a.m. to noon, and they, you know, and I thought, well, hopefully, even though it, you know, again, was taken away from us, not because of anything we wanted, hopefully that is how he viewed the time that we got to work together. And hopefully he will get that opportunity again. And hopefully his family will be able to get their dad, their husband, their backbone, if you will. And Navy will get its voice back, and the Nationals will get its voice back. Along with Charlie and Dave and Heisty, and hopefully we'll get, you know, Hopefully we'll get our Pete Medhurst back. However we consume him, hopefully we will get our Pete back. So just thinking about Pete, and we wanted to spend a few minutes here. That's more important than anything football-wise, quite honestly. And we just wanted to make sure that everybody knew in case you had not seen the news. And we're, again, awaiting word. I don't know if we're going to get word. Probably not before the end of the show. Probably not today. But just, you know, again, if you say a prayer, if you just keep him in your thoughts, whatever. And his family, too, obviously. He's got a young daughter. And Kelly, who he's very, 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 very fond of, and Brenda's wife, and his two, sons, and so on and so forth. So thinking about him and hoping for the very best. All right, let's get to, without further ado, let's get back to the radio show, because that's probably what Pete would want us to do. Let's get to Dr. Sabah here before we go too far. I know, Doc, you were very fond of Pete as well. I wanted to give you an opportunity, obviously, to say what you wanted to say.
No, I love calling into y'all's show. It broke my heart when they took that away. I don't think that was the first time. I think I'd already known you guys kind of on like different kind of, like, I guess, weekends or something. Mm-hmm. But I definitely was religiously calling that show. I loved it. And when I heard that, my gut just sank. I'm like, I can't believe it. But, you know, I'm going to say something just from my experience. I don't know what the actual truth is, but in the past year, I have physically known, like in my office, 7 people who have had brain cancers. Mm. The glioblastoma, I'm not sure what he has, but and I have not, in all my years of practice, more than one maybe a year known. And I got 7, that's not counting now, Pete, that I've heard about. And there's a lot of information out there about since 2020 from the vaccine, it's really causing these turbo brain cancers. And, I think we all might want to scan our heads just to make sure there's nothing in there, because, you know, I had to take the vaccine because, you know, they wouldn't let me operate in the hospital without it. So I don't know if that's exactly the correlation, but something has been going on since 2020. A lot of brain cancers and they're getting younger and younger. So my prayers, 100% for Pete. We want him to come back bigger and better than ever. And he's got to see his daughter play college softball.
Yeah.
And this is why I love sports radio, Pete. I've told you guys that a million times. I can sit here and rant and rave, and people can call me a hater and all that kind of mess, and it doesn't matter. I can predict that we want to win by 30 or lose by 30. And if I'm wrong, it doesn't matter.
Hang on, Doc. I just got word. I want to share this with everybody from Brenda, his wife, who put it on Facebook. So she said, thank you so much, everyone, for all of your continued thoughts and prayers. We appreciate them so much. Pete is in recovery, and the surgery went well. They were successfully able to remove the largest brain tumor. I should be able to see him in about 2 hours. This was as of about 15 minutes ago. Please continue prayers and good thoughts as we navigate the next step. Thank you again, and we love you all. So that is.
Well, that's good. So successful surgery, that's the first step.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, whatever the recovery is and whatever the prognosis, I don't know that. But that is directly from Pete's wife, Brenda, that she posted on Facebook, which is all how, you know, we found out before, you know, different outlets wrote it up. So, again, that is as of 15 minutes ago. So that is great news as far as I can tell.
Yes, it is.
Again,
I'm assuming he can move all his extremities
I'm not sure about all that, but just wanted to pass that along because I just happened to check. So, you know, that is the best news that we could get and deliver and pass along. So
absolutely. So my point was, like I say, we could all be wrong and crazy and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter, because to Pete, he doesn't give a crap who's winning or losing the game. He doesn't give a two hoots if Sabah's right or wrong about anything. He doesn't care who gets traded, who doesn't get traded. He literally doesn't even care about, like, the election, all this mess. None of it matters, guys, when it comes to your own health and your well-being. We all should realize how lucky we are to have our health and our families and our friends, and that should be foremost. We should never hate someone because their opinion is not what our opinion is. We should use this forum, this sports radio forum, for an outlet, a way to relax, and a way to just say your thoughts without, you know, them really counting. It doesn't really matter what I think. I like to, you know, like to tell you guys what I think because this is what the show is about, right? You say your show is about everybody giving their opinion.
Yeah.
So you want me to chime into my opinion about the Giants?
Yes, quickly, yes.
Game? Okay. Yeah. So I think that the way that we can win this game is, first of all, get their kicker out of the game, and secondly, make sure they throw to Malik Nabers when it matters most. We'll win. There you go.
Wait, you want them to throw to Malik? I was confused on that.
He dropped the fourth down.
Oh, because of that. Well, yeah, but I mean, he also made a bunch of other catches, and he almost killed them.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. This guy is the most overrated rookie wide receiver I've ever seen in my life. He literally almost single-handedly lost the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, no, he had a critical drop in that game. There's no doubt about it. But
I'm going to blame Daniel Jones.
Yeah, but here's what I don't want.
Yeah.
I don't want him, just because he's had a couple of critical drops, to have, you know, 15 targets, 12 catches, and a 135 and 2 touchdowns. Okay, that's what I don't
point,
want.
Chris.
You know,
my point was we need to play a lot better than we played against them last time because they beat us in every which way. We couldn't do anything in the red zone,
right.
And they were scoring in the red zone, and they would have scored more if they had a kicker. And then if the guy catches a pass, even though without their kicker, they still should have beat us.
Right.
So my point of view is we need to open up the offense like we did the game after that.
Okay, gotcha.
And we need to score and score and score. Okay?
You know, take an early lead is huge. Thank you, Dr. Sabah. I appreciate you, as always, and appreciate the good words. And thank you for being such a loyal supporter of, you know, both this show and when it was with Pete and all that stuff. And, again, if you just heard the good news that Brenda, Pete's wife, passed along, successful surgery. He's in recovery. And we'll see about the prognosis and all that stuff. But that's obviously great, great, great news that we just passed along here during Dr. Sabah's call. I would say this, you know, taking an early lead on Sunday is huge too, right? Like they had a 12-0 lead on Sunday into the fourth quarter. I'm not talking about that kind of lead. I'm talking about, man, if you can get up 14, you make the Giants one-dimensional or largely one-dimensional, and you take away the thing that or some of the thing that hurt you in week two. And then, yes, maybe you make it easier for them to target and throw and to accumulate yards to not only Malik Nabers, but to others, Wandale Robinson, and so on and so forth. But if you can make them one-dimensional, then it allows you to tee off on the pass rush. And they've got a young left tackle because Andrew Thomas, their former number 4 overall pick, who's a real good one, is out and out for the rest of the year. So ideally, you want to take the lead early and take a lead of some significance to put pressure on them and to make them as one-dimensional as possible, especially being that it looks like they're going to get Tyrone Tracy back. Devin Singletary's been back for a couple of weeks, but he has not looked the same. He has not looked the same in my estimation, and they haven't used him as much. So you want to, again, make them one-dimensional, and one way to do that is obviously by taking the early lead. All right, so we wanted to pass all of that along to you. We'll continue to update as best we can. Good news on that front, and we will continue to talk football because that's what we do here, and that's what we will do here. Who should the Commanders attack? You just heard Dr. Sabah, basically her, you know, formula. Now, listen, Greg Joseph is the place kicker, not Graham Gano. Greg Joseph, to our knowledge, is not hurt, so that shouldn't be a problem, but he is a little erratic. So that is one area that maybe the Commanders can catch a little break on. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Also, how disappointed would you be if they don't make a trade before the deadline on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app? All right, everybody, welcome back on a Feel Good Football Friday, I should say, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. So again, if you're just joining us, you know, we mentioned Pete's situation and our thoughts on it, and then while we were on with Dr. Sabah, who has been a big part of this show, both me individually and with Pete, and along with Matt and different producers before Matt, she posted again just about 25 minutes ago now an update on Pete, saying that he is in recovery. And the surgery went well, and they were successfully able to remove what she said was the largest brain tumor, which would suggest that there is more. but I don't know. She said she'll see him in a couple of hours and excuse me, to, you know, continue, you know, any good thoughts and prayers and whatnot that you can. So very good news there. Don't know the prognosis beyond that. Don't know any more information beyond that. But we're just trying to keep you updated and as well do the show. So certainly that is a relief. Again, I'm sure he's got a very long road ahead of him. And we don't want to, you know, dismiss any of those challenges that he has. But we wanted to pass that along to you. All right. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 is the number. Again, the two main things that we were talking about, and we're going to talk to Evan Abrams from the Action Network coming up in about 17 or 18 minutes, is the trade deadline. What if they don't make a trade? And also, how would you attack the Giants? You know, one way defensively, I think that you can absolutely, absolutely attack the Giants. Again, I just mentioned they're without Andrew Thomas at left tackle. They've got a backup left tackle. He was terrible on Monday night. Now, granted, he was going against it. So to me, if you're going to blitz and they blitz Caleb Williams a lot, I don't know what the game, I can't imagine it would be as aggressive this week, but if you're going to blitz, if you're going to pressure, I would send the house off the right side of the defense, left side of the Giants offense at Daniel Jones and his blind side. Now, I know Daniel Jones can run away from it, but he can't run away from everything. So I would expect in this game a fairly big game for Dante Fowler and maybe even Cleveland Farrell. And if they decide to blitz off the edge, meaning a nickel corner or a corner or what have you, for it to come probably off the left side of the Giant offense, right side of the Commanders defense. All right, let's get back to the calls. 301-230-0980. Let's get to Jonesy real quickly here before the bottom of the hour on line two, man. Jonesy?
Hey, what's going on? WrestleMania, check
what's
this
up,
out,
Jonesy?
Man. Thoughts and prayers out to our guy, man. You know, he's very, very, very good, man. Pistol Pete, man, that's my man.
yes, sir.
You know, so speedy recovery, speedy return. That's what I'm pushing for and praying yes, for right there. Now, I'm hoping, you know, before the deadline hits, we get something. I would like to see another pass rusher. Find me another pass rusher from somewhere. A good one at that.
Yeah. You know, how about Za'Darius Smith from Cleveland?
I would love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring it on.
You almost need Cleveland to lose on Sunday kind of reinforce that, because actually, you know, I think there's a pretty decent chance that Cleveland could get a second win in a row at home against the Chargers, you know, and, well, but if they win, maybe they start to feel their oats a little bit. If they lose, you know, then maybe they decide to further rip it apart.
Right. You know, pull a Jets deal, you know, one day maybe a fire sale, a win changes all of that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No big deal.
Yeah, but just a thought. I mean, there's no guarantees that they would do one or the other, but, you know, at 3 and 6, that's way different than 2 and 7 for the Browns. Meaning it's more likely Za'Darius Smith would be available. And I'm not saying that the only team he can go to is the Commanders, but that's the guy from a pass rushing and also from a somewhat edge perspective and an edge setting perspective that if you're looking in that area, that's a guy that jumps out to me.
Thank you. That would be my early Christmas gift right there. Now, as far as going to these Giants, I'm with you. Yeah. On that tackle side that is there, missing, you got to send some pass rush from every which way, about corner blitz, edge blitz, linebacker blitz. I don't get Daniel Jones, because that's the big time key of winning the games. And then the other thing is eliminating bonehead penalties. I mean, I'm tired of the ineligible men downfield. I'm tired of folks jumping off sides when they don't have to, and a big play has just been made.
Yeah.
A 50-yard run has been negated.
Yep. Last week they negated not only a touchdown from Zaccheaus, but also first and goal inside the five on Diami. Now, we had Nick Allegretti on yesterday. I don't know if you heard it. And he was the one that committed the penalty on the Diami screen, which would have gotten them first and goal from the five. And he said, no, look, he goes, look, that's a little bit on, you know, it's on me. We've made already a technique adjustment. So he gave you a little insight. They identified what the problem is, and they've made the adjustment. Now they have to execute it. So hopefully we don't have to deal with that. Never mind twice, once in the game on Sunday and moving forward. Hopefully.
Indeed. Indeed, because that's the only thing worse than the other team beating you is you beating yourself.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah. So no, I got you. I got you. Thank you, Jonesy. Appreciate you. Got to let you run. So we're up against the bottom. And I will get to your calls on the other side before Evan Abrams joins us. D.C. and Upper Marlboro. We'll get to you, Mitch and Jersey. We'll get to you. Anyone else that wants to hop in, we'll try and get to you. 301-230-0980. First, a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980. All right, so the Commanders done with practice for the week. Obviously, they'll have a walkthrough before heading up to Northern New Jersey tomorrow afternoon for a 1 o'clock kick with the Giants on Sunday afternoon. As far as the injuries go, Cornelius Lucas has been ruled out by head coach Dan Quinn, but Brandon Coleman is expected to return after missing one game from concussion protocol. Also, Frankie Louvu has missed practice much of the week, expected to play, as is Cleland Farrell. So some good news in that regard for Washington, and Jaden Daniels, of course, is a go. Kickoff again, 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon from MetLife. Earl Forsey gets it going at 9 a.m. right here on the Team 980, the DOC after the game, and Denton and Linnell in between all that with countdown to kickoff and everything in between, and in-game live right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Caps with a big win again last night to improve to 7-2 as they pull away from the Montreal Canadiens. They are in action over the weekend, a duel back-to-backer first tomorrow afternoon against Columbus at home at 5 o'clock, so an early face-off in that one, and then right back at it Sunday at 5 o'clock in Raleigh against the surging Hurricanes. Wizards off to Mexico City. They'll play here tomorrow night on the Team 980. Late night start, 9:30 against the Miami Heat, and that's what's trending.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good to have you with us right here on a Feel Good Football Friday. In case, again, you missed the good news that we were able to share from Brenda Medhurst, Pete's wife, surgery is considered a success in recovery, removal of a brain tumor. So still, obviously, a long way to go, and asking for continued thoughts and prayers. But that is certainly a positive sign and great news that we were able to share because Brenda made it public on her Facebook. So we were able to just read that and share that with you all. So keep, Pete and his family in your thoughts. Another thing tonight, Best Buddies Homecoming at the Reagan Building. It's completely sold out. You can't go there anymore next year. But we are still having our silent auction, and then we'll have a live auction if you're there in attendance. But the silent auction right now is available. I put the link all up. You can go to bestbuddieshomecoming.org, bestbuddieshomecoming.org, and you can click on the link and whatever. It'll take you to all the silent auction items. Again, it's tonight, so you got to get it done this afternoon. But there's some really, really great sports experience, vacation experiences, some awesome other things. Thanks so much to the Capitals, the Wizards, Monumental Sports and Entertainment, the Commanders, so on and so forth, and everybody that helped out and contributed and whatnot, all the different companies, all the different generous donors of so many different cool experiences. Please go check out bestbuddieshomecoming.org, bestbuddieshomecoming.org. org for more information. And we will have a big surprise at tonight's event. We will have the details on that next week. I think you're going to like it. And it is Commanders related. So looking forward very much to a great night tonight. It's an awesome cause, totally not for profit. And you know how passionate I am about it. And Matt and his family have supported and been involved. Matt's mom, Miss Essig, Kathy Essig, has been, you know, a great supporter and works with people with IDD and special needs. And that's what it's all about, right? And, you know. Let's go. Let's raise as much money as we can.
It's a good cause. Good. I mean, it allows people to be able to be in communities that, and I think that is, much like Sports Talk Radio, is a community of all you guys listening and us talking and calling in and all that jazz. It's another one of those communities for a group that is a lot of times underprivileged with those kind of abilities and communities.
Yep, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. So, going to be a great night ahead. Again, you know, all I can ask is you bid on some silent auction items. You know, there's the Nationals, dugout seats and all that stuff. I mean, there are so many cool events and items. Please just, again, go to Best Buddies Homecoming. .org to check it out. All right, let's get back to the phones, 301-230-0980. Let's get to D.C. and Upper Marlboro on the Team 980. D.C., how are you? Good afternoon.
I'm very well. How are you, Russell?
Good, D.C. What's going on, babe?
That's good. Oh, man, first I want to send my continued thoughts and prayers out to the Matt Hurst family for healing and Godspeed. And I know he enjoys enjoys watching his daughter play softball.
Yeah.
So I love hearing him talk about her and her activities. So I pray for that healing and Godspeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said.
And you enjoy your event tonight as well.
Thank you.
Is your son going to attend with you?
He is. He was there last year. He's unable to make it this year, but we're planning on him being next year as well. But I'm going to put him up on the video phone so that he can see some of it and experience some of it. But, yeah, thank you.
Excellent. Yeah. No problem. And about the Commanders, I hope we continue to do the methodical drives and let our defense get on the field and pin their ears back with a lead. And I just love when we put drives together that's about 4 to 5 or 6 plays, because it's almost like poetry in motion watching Coach make the calls and the offense putting it together. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So that's what I look forward to seeing.
When you say methodical drives, you're talking about 8, 9, 10 play drives where they're not necessarily ripping off the big chunk yardage, obviously, to Terry McLaurin that we've seen in a couple of spots. But you're talking about using Brian Robinson, maybe mixing in a little McNichols, Eckler, tight end, Zach Ertz. What I don't want them to – they've got to – you know, look, red zone issues, obviously, number one, but they've got to stop hurting themselves, not only with the penalties, but also some of the drops or non-catches. That was a problem as well last Sunday.
This is true. But like I said, when we get that all cooking, man, all of that looks good. But as you can see, we were a little inept. I don't know, maybe because Jaden didn't get to practice with him last week, but he's practicing this week.
Yeah, he's got it this week.
I look forward to seeing him doing it again.
I agree. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Thank you, DC.
Have a great weekend.
All right, coming up next, Evan Abrams from the Action Network. He'll join us. Also, you will hear Alex Ovechkin's pursuit of history in the 3 o'clock hour, and we'll have our dueling Super Sunday six-pack, 6 games, including the Commanders Giants against the spread, and our 6 top teams in the NFL. Did the Commanders stay in? That's all coming up on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. All right, on a feel-good football Friday, we continue along towards 3 o'clock. We'll ultimately take you until 4. Craig Hoffman at that point. And then we're off to the Best Buddies Homecoming Gala. Can't wait for that. Again, we'll have some cool, cool stuff for you next week on an initiative that we will have information on again next week. So looking forward to that, especially if you're a Commanders fan. As well, we're thinking about our partner Pete Medhurst, who, again, had the surgery, according to his wife, and successful. But right now, we continue to do what we do. Joining us now from the Action Network is Evan Abrams. You can follow him on Twitter and X at Evan H. Abrams, at Evan H. Abrams on X, and as well read his great work at theactionnetwork.com. And Evan's with us here on the BetQL guest hotline. Evan, it's Chris Russell here in D.C. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
What's going on, guys? I mean, listen, I couldn't pick a better time of year with everything going on across all the sports. And NFL, this is my favorite time of year. This is like the sandwich weeks right in the middle where you try to figure out some teams. It's just a lot of fun. I love it.
No doubt about it. Well, let's, before we get to the Commanders and the Giants, because I don't know if we're necessarily trying to figure out what's going on between those two teams. They seem to be heading in opposite directions. One thing that struck me, and I know you wrote about it earlier this week, and that was people were surprised that the Jets were the home favorite last night over the Texans. Now, look, you should never trust the Jets, as you well know. But yet they surprised everybody, and they not only, you know, they won, they covered, whatever. And people are still trying to figure out, wait a second, that was a dummy line. That was a weird line. What happened exactly there?
Yeah, so let's go through a few layers here to try to break down this story. So they did close as 2.5-point favorites. They were even like 1.5 and 2 earlier.
Right.
So it even got bet up, getting closer to kick. But the first half looked like everyone was right and the bookmakers were wrong, right? I mean, the Jets had 0 points. They were the first team since December 2020 to score 0 points at the half as a home favorite and still cover the game. So, I mean, this type of stuff just doesn't happen often, and you mentioned it and alluded to it, so let's give you the stat here. So, in a team's ninth game or later, this was just the seventh time since 1990, a team with a win percentage 50-plus points higher was listed as a favorite.
Right.
Now, those teams, 7-0 straight up, 5-0-2 against the spread. So, the market, in the end, tended to be right here, but I think the line was all, like, I think the question for everyone would be, with Stephon Diggs, with Nico Collins, is this a different line? Is this
right.
a different situation? I really don't want to put even a half points on a single wide receiver usually in terms of value in the NFL. But what I like to put value on is compound injuries. When two players are out, when three players are out, it just starts to like go on top of each other and actually does create value. Now, Stroud's throw, I believe it was to Mechie, early in the game, overthrew him, might have been a touchdown. They had the return back that was called back that could have been
back,
a touchdown.
Right.
There was a lot of, and obviously the Jets had the same thing with Corley dropping the touchdown. But I think going back and forth, I'm not sure the line was necessarily wrong as it was a tight game, but fascinating nonetheless. And just one more thing from the Jets' point of view, they've got the fifth easiest remaining strength of schedule, easiest among all AFC teams. Now, next week, they go cross-country to Arizona. But if they get through that, they have a home Sunday night game against Indy and then the bye. So this was not only lose the game and end up, you know, dead for the year, but there's some optimism here.
There is, because now, and Davante Adams bounced back from the concussion check early in the game, and I thought they were doomed when that happened, and then he scores a touchdown. Obviously, the unbelievable catch by Garrett Wilson. Maybe it gets him and Aaron Rodgers on a bet. And now Hassan Reddick has played a couple of games, so maybe that defense comes around. You mentioned the schedule, winnable games, Arizona, Indianapolis. We'll see what happens. But I was fascinated by, A, the number that you just threw out, and B, I honestly, if I didn't bet the game, but again, I did take the Jets straight up in our show picks, I would have bet the Jets 2.5 because I thought they were A, desperate, and B, because of what you said, the compounded injuries at one position and on a short week. And, you know, Houston to New York or Northern Jersey, as you know, is not an easy trip, and that's on a short week. So it looks like everything kind of played out that way in that particular game. I wanted to ask you about the Commanders, obviously, because that's most of my audience. They are, depending on where you get it, 3.5, 4-point favorites. Let's just call it 4-point favorites. Here, do you like that number? Because it's a road game, obviously off of a miraculous win, so maybe some of the wind gets knocked out of their sails, or maybe they're just, again, getting cranked up here. And I don't know what to make of the Giants because they're tough and feisty, but they played on a short week, and we all know some of the issues that they have.
Yeah, my feeling on this one, and you can look at the first game they played earlier in the year, right? Mm-hmm. At week two, they already did this. 21-18, 1.5-point favorites for Washington. Giants led at the half. Giants led in the fourth quarter. And then you look at Daniel Jones, okay? 5-2-1 straight up, 6-2 against the number against Washington. He's 20-41 straight up, 29-32 against the rest of the NFL. It just happens to be a better spot for him, and I think it's part of the defense that makes it a little bit easier. But bettors really don't care. Mm-hmm. According to Action Network data, 89% of the tickets, about 89% of the money, you could just say it, the entire wave is on Washington, because how could you not be? I mean, you just see the Hail Mary, you see what's going on, you see the third down and fourth down offense from Washington's point of view. You just don't know how they're going to get off the field when they basically never punt. So I can understand why everyone's on that side. To me, I'll look at just two angles here. So it's a small sample size, but I think if you're going to bet the Giants, I like the 4. I like the 4.5, as I think the line's going to just go up. So if you're going to bet the Giants, I would wait closer to kick. Okay. But I did do a little research here. Since 2000, last week's touchdown from Jaden was the 6th with no time left and a team trailing by 6 or less since 2000 again. Last was Derek Carr in 2017. But the thing that's interesting, those other teams went 1-4 straight up in their next game on the last second win. 3 of the 4 lost by 7-plus. And I know a lot of people out there have seen this stat. Well, in terms of last second touchdowns, in terms of length, the only one longer was Tim Couch, 99. Tim Couch lost 41-9 the next week. I'm not saying that's going to happen here, because it's not. And I think it's, you know, many different types of noise in these circumstances. But I do think a minor letdown, whether it's first half or at least keeping the Giants in the game throughout the process, is worth discussing. And I think the other on-field level would be the Giants' rush. They got 35 sacks already this year, most through any team in the NFL through 8 games since the Jaguars in 2017. It just, over and over again, they're getting to the quarterback. My only fear, Giants have 1 interception, tied for the fewest in the league, 6 of 8 QBs they've faced, 70-plus completion percentage. 7 of those 8 had a positive completion percentage over expected. The only one that didn't was Deshaun Watson. So is Jaden going to have a fun time throwing? Possibly, but he's also got to have time to throw. So yep. I think the number's right.
It helps them, Evan, that Kayvon Thibodeau, who has tortured the Commanders over his 2-plus seasons, is on IR. So that, for whatever little that's worth, it doesn't mean that they don't have options, Ojulari and obviously, Brian Burns and what have you, but it does help them, to your point. All right. Before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you this. You had some great numbers about the Philadelphia Eagles, right? In terms of everybody knows how they've struggled to score in the first quarter. I'm thinking, okay, even though the numbers would strongly suggest if you're, doing a prop bet or whatever, that the Eagles don't score, right? But I'm thinking against Jacksonville at home with the Eagles offense rolling and with Jacksonville being Jacksonville, that this is the perfect opportunity to go against the information. Is that fair? Is that a good thought process? Or do you rely on the information and that's where you stay?
I think the information's a little noisy if you haven't played it already. I say this about a bunch of trends. Like, there's another great one in college football with Josh Heupel first halves. He was absolutely unreal entering this year. Last 3 weeks, they haven't scored a point in the first half. So I just think if you haven't been tailing something, use it as information going forward. I will say this. So it's not only this year. 9 straight games, they haven't scored a point in the first quarter going back to last year. Julio Jones was their last touchdown in the first quarter. So it has been a minute. Now from Jacksonville's point of view, they're actually 14-8 first quarter ATS on the road last 3 years. 3-1 this year. So I think if you're going to play this, maybe just take an Eagles first quarter team total, which is out there at a few books. Assume maybe they get on the board, but they could let up a touchdown, and you'd still lose that first quarter spread. Here's the one that knocks me before I get out of here. 0-7 first quarter ATS for the Eagles. In all other quarters, they're 15-6. To me, that's got to even out.
All of this great information that Evan's been giving us is available at theactionnetwork.com, actionnetwork.com, and make sure you follow him, Evan Abrams, at, where did I just had it here on my screen here, of course, sorry about that, at Evan H. Abrams, from Action Network. Great stuff, man. I appreciate you making some time for us. Let's do this again because I was fascinated by the amount amount of data. And I'm not always a data guy. I'm not always an analytics guy, but I do like it and I do read it and I do absorb it. And it's always interesting to see how the numbers and whether they actually match up. And I was just intrigued by those three storylines. So I really appreciate you making some time for us.
Yeah, happy to be here. And again, just take as much information in as you possibly can. It's the reason I deliver it the way I deliver it. You know, a lot of data points and how you make picks out there and what ends up in the last process, especially in a football game that's 60 minutes long. But I love the stuff and I love the time. And thanks again, guys.
No doubt. No doubt. Great information. Again, available at the Action Network, actionnetwork.com. That's Evan Abrams. Thank him for joining us right here on the Team 980. Again, actionnetwork.com is where you want to go to get a lot of his information. And it is bountiful. And it's really, you know, from a gambling perspective, certainly, obviously, you want to keep that in mind. If you're a smell test contrarian guy like Kevin Sheehan, you might want to go, again, opposite of where the data takes you. Who knows? Wherever you want to go. The Dodgers are celebrating a World Series title in the streets of Los Angeles right now. I just saw Shohei Ohtani, for some reason, holding a dog on top of a tour bus. I don't know. Matt went to a Capitals game last night, saw a big outburst, and you're going to hear Alex Ovechkin one step closer to history next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.